And we are live. Welcome, everybody, to episode 190 of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I'm Dan Nedelko, joined by the technically challenged Stacey DeSantis. Just joking.
Shush.
Just joking.
No, you're not wrong.
At the 11th, at the 11th hour, you definitely pulled the rabbit out of the hat. So congratulations. Anyhow.
I may have been running around like a crazy person. Yes.
Yes. I've had many a day like that over the years with this production, doing the same thing. So all good. Anyhow.
But we're almost at 200.
Yes, we are. We're getting there. We're getting there. That's almost 4 years. So I'm Dan Nedelko. Let's restart that.
Nope.
I'm Stacey DeSantis.
And I'm Yvonne.
All right. And welcome. So today we are going to talk about something near and dear to our hearts, which is marketing automation and how it can help you scale your business. One of the key things is that what we see is that people have access to marketing automation platforms via MailChimp or via ActiveCampaign or Marketo or Drift, Drip, Okta. There's like tons and tons of them. Or they've never even heard of it before and are trying to manually manage customer conversations, which really is not very scalable. It's also really super challenging, hard to keep up with. You can't measure it. So what we're going to talk about today is how you can streamline many operations in many different types of businesses, including in sales and in operations and customer support and customer retention, and do it in an automated manner that's going to help alleviate the manual pressures. We're also going to talk about how you can humanize the automation so that they don't come off as robotic and they do come off as genuine, sincere conversations.
Is that all?
That's it. That's all. We're gonna go through this at light speed. But first, let's talk about what's new in the world of digital marketing. So, here we go. So Yvonne, this one was yours. Do you want to speak to this one a little bit?
Yeah, just let me pull it up a sec.
Sure. I can segue it for you. Yeah. So this one's from marketingnewscanada.com. And basically looking at the spend from Google and Facebook and YouTube, pretty astronomical increases in online advertising. Pretty easy to see where that came from. Given the fact that a lot of forms of offline advertising were halted during the lockdowns all over the world. And so obviously people turned to digital. One of the things that this author here, I'm not sure where his name is, but there he is. Connor Galway from Junction Consulting is saying, hey, what's going on? Spends are up, spends are big, but performance is way, way down. Some marketers are not all that happy about that, if you can see my screen. And one of the takes is, if this is iOS 14.5 plus, the IDFA, that people are not opting into it. We've talked about this a lot, and there are lots of solutions for you to maintain it, primarily first-party data. And if those go ahead, Yvonne.
Sorry. No, I just wanted to mention one of those really important takes is because of that creative disconnect that we have now that we're all working, most of us working from home still. It's a different kind of collaboration. We don't get that in person. And then, like it's saying, there's no original ideas. And so it's kind of a loss there as well.
Well, yeah. And I think that's Connor's hot take here. For sure. I don't know about you both, but I actually find that we collaborate, or I'm collaborating at least, a lot more with people, with us having moved into our new virtual worlds.
You're right. Definitely.
I think there's like pros and cons, whereas like I think that on our own time, we can get a hold of people a little bit easier, and then mm-hmm. they can respond when they want to and when it works for them. So I guess... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to say that that's maybe that take is exactly true. It could be true for some people, but not necessarily for every business.
Well, 100%. And your mileage may vary on that, right? Like, it depends on the type of business you are. It depends on your team and how they collaborate. I like to think along the lines, now that we've shuttered our physical office and gone 100% virtual, that we have different ways and different tools. But I think it just requires, I think it requires a different mindset and a kind of dedication to communication.
Very true.
And I also think it is extremely possible to be even more creative on much smaller budgets, given you know, what Facebook and TikTok and Snap and YouTube are providing with shorts and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you're more creative on a lower budget, all good to you.
Sure.
Better, right?
Well, you can, I mean, even big budgets can have better production costs with things like TikTok, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. All right. Oh, Yvonne, you're Hello. The star of the show.
Of course
you are. All right, moving right along. Stacy, are you with us or are you frozen? I think she might be frozen. She looks like the Mona sure Lisa. Stacy is having some internet issues. Rogers is shockingly not providing her with awesome high-speed service. So Stacy will be, if you're watching on the screen, slightly frozen. Okay, so on to the next one. Vimeo is now, Vimeo is now the first video software company to partner with TikTok, which is actually pretty interesting. So the thing that they have here is Vimeo Create. Vimeo Create is a lot like what we use, promo.com. So it's a video creator. I actually kind of think that Vimeo might do an excellent job with this, given their long, long history with you know, video SaaS platforms and that kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting to see, because TikTok, you know, has kind of everybody just, it's the, they're like that popular kid in school now, TikTok, everybody wants to be around them. And I feel like that's kind of what they're doing. And I think it's a really smart move for them.
I agree. It's definitely, they've definitely tapped into something where now YouTube and Facebook and Insta are following them back. Let's see if we've got Stacy back.
Am I back?
Yes, yeah. You are back. Welcome back. So one of the interesting things on this one, using Vimeo Create and some of the AI tools, they saw a 5.5% increase, 5.5 times increase in conversion rate within the first 2 weeks of its trial campaign. So definitely something to look into. If you are thinking of TikTok advertising, would strongly recommend it, both boosting and ads as well.
So funny story.
Okay, story time.
There was when you look at your Wi-Fi networks in your local area, we have one on my street called Skynet. Sorry.
Someone's full of jokes.
Terminator 2, you know, Skynet.
You don't know that, Yvonne? You've never heard of Skynet?
I was just confused by what was funny about it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I wasn't getting it.
This is usually what happens between Yvonne and I during our work day.
I get it.
This is a bit of the burn. All right, moving right along. Back onto TikTok, of course, because TikTok is always the lead headline in these last few weeks. TikTok is testing Snapchat style vanishing video features, video stories, which kind of wholly puts TikTok and Snapchat into a pretty much exactly the same, almost exactly the same kind of user experience. It's kind of funny.
Isn't it weird? Because I think a lot of people keep stealing from Snapchat. They come up with these great ideas and everyone just wants them. And then nobody cares too much about Snapchat, kind of gets left in the dust there sometimes.
They do tend to get left in the dust, but it's interesting because, so TikTok is unique and now they're starting to pull the same things as everybody else. So it seems to be a pattern within the industry and not just solely but TikTok does tend to be the innovator. That is very true. So interesting to see how those vanishing stories are going to turn out.
Mm-hmm. Talk about getting on the coattails of Twitter with fleets bouncing, right?
Yeah, fleets is one of my favorite stories in digital marketing in the last while. Okay. Let's move right along to our next story. This one is actually really good. YouTube Creator Fund for Shorts will not exclude videos posted to other platforms, which is a surprising move on YouTube's part for sure. They're usually pretty strict about this stuff. Let's see. So yeah, the Shorts fund started August 3rd. I don't think it's available in Canada, similar to the TikTok model. So they're saying, because if your video is on another platform, you're not going to be eligible for the creator fund. So someone said that. But they're not requiring exclusivity.
Yeah, like it can be the same video, but if you post the video on TikTok, you couldn't take the video that has a TikTok watermark and put it on YouTube Shorts. But it could be the same video, just not with the watermark.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, some obvious points about the Shorts Creator Fund. It has to be original content. It can't use copyrighted content. You know, all the kind of what I think are common sense rules around that. But, you know, YouTube's raking in massive amounts of revenue these days. They've been monetizing almost every aspect of the platform across the board. And so it's good to see that, you know, hopefully the innovation will come in the fact that creators are rewarded more amicably than they are today. Because it's still not exactly a level playing field in terms of what they're making, although they've minted several millionaires.
Yeah, and they're saying in the article that it's pretty hush-hush what people get paid, because it's very depends, I guess, on...
Yeah, it's a... Like,
there's no, like, benchmark, though, right?
No, it's not like AdSense where it's an RPM model where you can you have some prediction into how much you're going to make in the typical, you know, 55-45 or whatever it is YouTube to creator split. These are like bespoke programs that you get into if you have a large enough audience and large enough engagement. But, you know, the incentive for creators is that you can monetize your life, and it's another revenue stream, which is important to creators for sure. Moving right along. Twitter's adding new co-hosting options for Audio Spaces, which is their Clubhouse ripoff.
I kind of love this, though. Like, I could see this being used, because let's say we had a client and they wanted to do, you know, something on Fleets. You could have a moderator now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they wouldn't be alone just talking, like, and trying to moderate at the same time. So you can actually have that security blanket, if you will, someone to moderate the comments, you know, invite or disinvite certain individuals that are in the chat, you know, or listening in. So yeah, I think that might be kind of neat.
Yeah,
I would definitely see it great for interviews. That's a definite option. And I think
absolutely. Yep. And I think, you know, spaces are interesting for sure, just like clubhouses. I find Clubhouse pretty interesting. It'll be interesting to see where Twitter goes with this, as they seem to be pivoting more quickly away from things that aren't working and being willing to get rid of them like they did with Fleets, to your point, Stacey, before. They also look to be trying to accelerate the number of features they have available on there. So definitely something to consider if your audience is are heavy Twitter users and you think they'll be out there. It's a great way to create another area of engagement.
I can see how we may even use this with some of our clients in the future. So I was excited. Absolutely. I was like, woo.
Yeah, it's great for community engagement.
Yeah.
Okay, so on our last What's New today, LinkedIn is updating people you may know recommendations to help maximize connection opportunities. So this really does look like pretty much an algorithm tweak. Oops, wrong window. There we go.
Yeah, because they were finding that individuals who had large networks or would be perceived as connectors from, you know, a network connector were getting all kinds of recommendations, but your average Joe wasn't getting it. They were just getting people maybe that lived close to them, but not really ones that would be prevalent to or help them with their own personal network. Mm-hmm. So they're making an update to that, and they are seeing now a decrease in those connectors getting so many requests, and half of them they probably ignore, to people that are just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe more me, not so much you. I'd consider you a connector, but you know, that would actually get fruitful network suggestions.
Yeah, totally. And the LinkedIn algorithm does need work, and they've been tweaking it. It falls victim to spam at certain points, and it can be on and off in terms of what the feed and recommendations we're doing for people. So Pip has got a comment here. I don't know what anyone else, but the ads on YouTube seem to be insanely long lately. It's irritating. Sometimes they are 30 minutes long. I think you meant 30 seconds.
There are some that can be up to a few minutes, though. I don't know about 30. It's those investment ones where, like, oh, I was broke today, but then I was like, I gained all
this.
Like, okay, I'm not going to follow
your
strategy.
You're like little mini infomercials, right?
Yes. Yeah. So your option is YouTube Red. No, 30 minutes. I've never seen that, to be honest with you, but okay. But YouTube Red is an option that will shut off all ads so you don't see any of the pre-roll ads. That's what I have. I subscribed to it and I forgot about it, and now I totally forget. Okay, so let's move right along. So if you are new to Live at the Hive, please drop a note, say hi, introduce yourself. We do take open questions as well. Okay. Oops. Let me get all the way back to the beginning here. All right, so hopefully you can read that. So who wants to cue this up for our audience?
I think I'm going to nominate Yvonne, because when he presented this in our team meeting, he did a fab job.
Use that radio voice.
Take it away, Yvonne.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so if we're just going to be today discussing kind of the automations, and I know it's a big deal with a lot of people, and it's just an easier way to help your business out and just make it a little bit more efficient and effective. So So they're not only going to provide you with the effectiveness, but it makes it easy. And then, I know that wasn't probably what you were hoping for. I don't think it was what I was hoping for either.
That's okay. You did great. Don't worry about it. You did great.
I don't know.
I started saying that, you know, that song from the 80s, Mr. Roboto.
I do. All right, so I think one of the key things, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Yes.
One of the key things is, like any business system, to be honest with you, automation is incredibly important. Henry Ford proved that, and that's not a secret in any businesses, that standard operating procedures, automations, and things that anything you can automate, you should be automating in your business. It just makes really good sense. And really, with the technologies that we have today, and these technologies keep progressing, like I said, we're going to focus on ActiveCampaign, but really, whether it's MailChimp or HubSpot or Marketo or Eloqua, I mean, you can keep going down the line. There's so many automation platforms out there in the world right now. Some are more advanced than others, but they do have a commonality and a common thread, is you can, and the important part about automations is you personalize experiences based on all sorts of different factors. And that's what we're going to walk through today, is how to set that up, what some of the triggers are, and some ideas that you can use to implement, even with fairly basic marketing automation platform plans.
Yeah. And if you, I know that we actually discussed it, what you're discussing, and 163 was our episode about marketing tools. If you're marketing automation tools, that if you want to take another look at some of those, we do have that as well.
Nice reference, Yvonne. Did you plan that?
No, I went and quickly looked for it.
Nice.
Sure did.
Nice.
You know, Yvonne's got a fantastic memory. It must be his youth, but like, he's always like, oh yeah, we did that episode, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he's like the guy from Jerry Maguire. The human head is weighs 8 pounds.
Stacy throwing down all the 80s and 90s movies.
I know, it's Friday, right?
So, there you go. So some of the automations we're going to look at that you can use as an example, a holiday or an e-commerce abandoned cart automation, membership onboarding, product interest tagging, new volunteer thank you and notification, plus behavioral follow-up, e-course or online course delivery, your weekly newsletter that can be automated, contact segmentation, lead magnet delivery, subscription series, and free trial email automation workflow. So let's see if we get through all 10. We've got 20 minutes. We've got 10. We've got 2 minutes per. So let's get right into the news. Okay. All right. Okay, so who wants? Oh, did someone want to jump in on this one?
Sure.
Yeah,
I can.
Go ahead. Yeah, go
so, ahead. What do you do, especially around the holidays, when, especially now that we're coming into Q4, when people, you know, fill up their carts, but abandon them and then completely forget by automating an email to them, reminding them that they have abandoned their cart or that their cart is still full, but they didn't make a purchase, you're actually triggering a potential sale. So this kind of automation can really help you catch those people that are kind of tire kickers or maybe, you know, on the fence as to whether or not they're going to move forward.
So, yeah, there's a couple of things about this type of an automation. You can also trigger an email, but you can also trigger an SMS. And SMS, yes, we have found is much more engaging to people. Offer the follow-up. And I'm not sure if you can see it on the screen really well, but this one is using what we call a deep data integration. So what that does is that our connection with WooCommerce or Shopify or whatever platform you're using, the deep data integration will pull in all of the details of that person's past, current purchases. It's not just that they purchased, it's what the size of their cart, how much, you know, did they purchase before. So you can really leverage that data to create that personalized experience. Tip number two on this automation is you could provide different offers for different product categories in your e-commerce store, depending on what it is that they have in their cart and also based on the cart value. And that's what deep data integration does. Like in ActiveCampaign, you would see one person may have had $29 worth of goods. Someone else may have had $329 worth of goods. You could provide two different offers and obviously probably a little bit more to someone with the $329 in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Sure. So next up, we've got the membership onboarding. So if you've got a membership site, what you're going to want to do, and I might, let's see if I can zoom in on this one a little bit. It's kind of, it is kind of hard to see the actual automation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically one of the things with membership sites, so if you're, you know, that would apply for an online course as well, is people will sign up for things, especially if you have a free trial, they'll forget about it. They won't engage with it. And what we want to do is we want to create an onboarding flow over a period of, say, 7 days. We've condensed it in this automation just to simplify it a little bit. But you want to walk people through onboarding, boot camp, education, giving them reasons they should be joining your membership site. And you can see here in our sample automation that we've got a couple of stops waiting for one day after they sign up. So it's always relative. And you can create like this mini onboarding boot camp to keep them
engaged. Yeah, because when you get new people, you don't want to just forget about them, right? You want them to continue and you don't want to show them why they joined the membership in the first place. You want to make them as welcome as they can be so they continue to stay with you.
Exactly. Great point. There we go. Let's see if we can. Let's see if Stacy can. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. It's okay. It's a connection roulette. All right. So moving right on. Product interest tagging. Now, this is a slightly different automation. But one of the things that you do in product interest tagging, and this obviously it applies for e-commerce, is if you can generate a lead, right? So you've got a lead in there and your first purchase is 20% off. That person hasn't actually purchased yet, but they are in. As soon as they sign up for that, they get pushed into ActiveCampaign or your marketing automation platform. And what we do is we install behavioral tags, so a JavaScript that goes onto your website and onto your store. And we will then be tracking what pages and products they're visiting on the store, even if they haven't made the purchase, right? And one of the things that's important with that is that you can now use it to convert a lead into a sale. And you can create very complex rules that say by product category, by product type, okay, now we're going to shunt you. You visited this page more than 3 times. There's obviously interest there. And because you visited three times, maybe we'll give you a special offer on free shipping, which you kind of have to do by default these days anyways, because of Amazon and Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So you had to work that into your pricing model. And then maybe you offer free shipping plus a discount with two or more, or offer a bundle, right? And so you can create these offers on the fly that will allow you to really hone in on what that person is interested in, instead of having a generic call to action about all of your products. Like, maybe I'm only interested in baby blankets and, you know, onesies, right? But I sell a vast array of other types of products. Product interest tagging will give you that ability to segment and really personalize that experience.
Yeah, and it kind of eliminates that the generic copy that you'd send to everybody, right? Because mm-hmm. then maybe people wouldn't understand why they would be getting something that they're not even interested in, which could then turn them away, because it just feels more spammy and that they don't understand, right? So this way you'll have a better chance to get that sale.
Yeah, for sure. And
it's about personalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the words I hate to hear from anybody are email blast.
No.
It's toxic. It's toxic terminology, people. Please never use email blast. And please don't email blast your entire list. Please try to segment your list. Have intelligent automations to create the most engaged audiences. And that's really what you want to do here. And this is just a visualization of what ActiveCampaign actually looks like in terms of creating that product interest tagging. Okay. Yeah.
And then baby cribs or anything like that.
Didn't get that, Stace. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right. So let me see here. So I'm going to talk about... next up, we've got a thank you and notification. In this one is... Was this the... This is the... We're using a not-for-profit, right?
Yes, that was the thing. Yep.
Okay, so let's make an assumption here that you're running a not-for-profit, and you're making a call for volunteers, and someone has expressed interest in that. Then, so what you can see here, and I'll be able to zoom in a little bit more because this will be. So here we go. So if contact submits a form, again, not sure if you can see that, but I'll try to make it a little bit bigger for everybody here.
Zoom in.
The type of automations you can put in place here. So obviously you send a thank you. And one of the things in the thank you that we do suggest is that you try to personalize the email itself to reduce the spam signals, because a lot of people use Gmail these days. And if they're using Gmail, you have the promotions, you have the updates, and you've got the forums tab. If you get knocked into those tabs, you are going to get buried and see very, very bad open and click-through rates. So if you create it, don't use a giant header and don't use all those typical elements of a marketing email. Rather, write it as if you were replying to it directly. Like as if you sat down, that person sent an email through, and you're typing out your reply. You're going to have a much better chance of landing in their inbox. You're also really going to increase the likelihood of a reply. Well-written, personalized. Your other option there in terms of that message is to actually say, I'm an automated reply. Like, hey, this is B-Bot answering for Dan. But I do actually read all those emails, right? So you can do that as well as a strategy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we found that with a client we had worked on, and a lot of the messaging was just very plain, and it felt like a bot had written it. And we suggested to go more personal route, because in my opinion, if I trust a face behind that, and I trust the person behind that brand that's actually talking to me, and that I feel like they could actually help me in the long run than just these random ones that they just sent to anybody. It doesn't feel like there's any care there. And that's what I'm kind of looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
there's kind of a level of authenticity that isn't really there with an automated, well, like a bot-ish type of message, right? Like, you got that personalization. Someone's like, oh, they really do care about me. Oh, this is authentic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to respond favorably.
You know, I said it better myself.
I think of us, you're coming out pretty choppy, Stacey. You sound like the AI voice on TikTok a little bit. You know, when it's like text to speech. Okay, so moving right along in this very same automation, it's okay, Stace. We understand the technical woes. By the way, that Ignite Bud thing or pod, all that is a Wi-Fi extender. You probably have problems with your actual internet connection, not with just the fact that your Wi-Fi is tapping out on you. So Courtney drops a good comment here. Email blast equals no strategy. Absolutely correct. There's a line of thinking that a lot of people have is like, well, let's just email everybody. But that's a terrible idea, right? You have different customers with different say pressure points for action and different interests and different, you know. So personalize that message is really, really the key to it. So just to move on in this automation here a little bit. So the follow-up to that. So this person has expressed interest. You've sent a reply, personalized reply to them. Moving down here, so this is part of that behavioral. This is also part of segmentation, is you can create a branch. Maybe you have a specific landing page for your volunteers for your not-for-profit, just as this example. And maybe you've got an activities landing page, how you can help, that kind of thing. So we can tag if they've visited a specific page on the site. And we can have lots of different logic branches, right? And you can then send a personalized email based on the page that they have visited. So, and that takes people to the next step. It gives that feeling that, you know, I wouldn't do it immediately after, like if they visit the page, then they get an email. I might add a buffer, like a wait time period in between. But you can create these automations that create entire dialogues. And if you map it out, you would imagine if you were trying to do that manually, how much time and effort it would take. It's virtually impossible to do it, not to do it without marketing automation.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep going. I think we're not doing bad. Stacy's in 42p technology now resolution.
Yeah, and just one of those, I just want to mention with that last one, because if you make it more personal into the page they actually visited, that'll show that you care. You didn't just send, like you said, you didn't just send me an email blast to anybody, right? You're like, okay, mm-hmm. You clearly know what I'm doing here, what I want. And so that's what they're.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the important things that we can talk about here is the fact that, let's use an e-commerce store as an example. By the way, there's no way we're getting through all of these.
No.
But that's okay.
Come on.
Well, we may go over a little bit, but I don't want to. So I think let's use the example of the e-commerce store. So if I've got a customer and I've generated their lead, I'm trying to convert them into a customer, but I haven't been able to do that yet. But I see that on my store, they're visiting all of the baby-related merchandise, right? Or maybe they're visiting all of my custom T-shirt merchandise or women's jewelry or something like that. I start to see a theme. Well, you could have, you know, welcome to the baby club. Your first purchase will be 25% off if they're going to the baby merchandise. Right. You could be in the T-shirt VIP club with your first purchase. We're going to give you instant access to T-shirt discounts and early access to our newest merchandise. Right. You can create that kind of logic, and that can really boost your conversion rates substantially. And that's what personalization can do for you.
Boom. Cool.
Boom. All right.
I don't know.
Nope. Okay, so let's look at online courses. So online courses and communities obviously have exploded over the last year and a half. Communities, whether it's training, coaching, mentoring, all sorts of different things. The important thing about online courses is because it's a very saturated market, your community building efforts are top priority. And technically, I would say that that goes for anybody, anybody running any kind of a business. In fact, what you do see now are influencers and creators build up audiences first and then sell products to those audiences. So you see it with YouTubers, you see it with TikTokers, you see it with Instagram people. So the community and fostering that community is really the first and most important thing for any business to stay, meaning every company should strive to be an influencer to some greater or lesser degree, right?
Mm-hmm. So with this automation that you can see here, you start with that welcome message to get them, you know, get them started, get them at ease. And then each day you'll be sending something new that you can provide them, some kind of knowledge that you can give to your to these contacts that will hopefully by the time that day five does come and then you're going to be giving them that call to action that they're more inclined to buy from you, because now you've kind of solidified yourself as that expert in your field and they'll feel more comfortable like on with you and buying your products and services.
All right. So we've got, I hope I'm saying your name right, Asen. Kirilov is saying, which absolutely makes sense to do it in that order. I think he's referring to, and if you build it, they will come. That my first advice to anybody would be take social and take community extremely seriously. Just to give you an example, Mr. Beast on YouTube, one of the largest creators on YouTube, built a 400 chain pop-up burger empire in the period of 9 months. And all he has to do is shoot a couple videos about it, and he's getting hundreds of thousands of orders across the nation. Like it's the ability to tap into that builds businesses, right? As opposed to starting from a product perspective and then trying to find an audience, find the audience and then give them solutions to their problems.
Yeah, and I think you, I don't know, because you wanted to touch on this, but I don't know if you had mentioned it for upselling, the great way with this automation.
Yeah, and this particular automation is really, so with online courses, like, you know, one of the things that I see a lot, like I do a lot of Udemy, I really feel like Udemy is actually a lead generator for people that have their own online courses elsewhere, and that's why they give them away sometimes for like $10. And in these, like one of the important things is your online course is actually a derivative of a community where people are trying to become educated. So you can't just throw up, you know, your 12 module course. You've got to have webinars and live streams and Q&As and office hour sessions and a Facebook group, and all of these things. And this automation will help you keep, like you can continue to build these modules out, which could be just little tips, tricks, and bits of knowledge, but it keeps your audience engaged the point to which they signed up for that course. And then you want to keep that momentum building so they don't just forget about it, go away, because people register for a lot of things these days. Mm-hmm. And it will go away.
Yeah, and it just brings that back to that personal touch to it too. Like you said, if you just threw up a course and your face wasn't on it, they don't even know who you are. Like, are they more inclined to keep reading and keep going with it if they have no idea who you are and you're not engaging with them? Then I don't see, there for them it's probably no point in even bothering with it.
Yep. And there's one automation that we've refined over the years for webinar registration, which I believe is a 6-step or 7-step automation that creates 4 segments, and then breaks the stream out to people in the 4 segments that, you know, visited the landing page but didn't register. They registered, they didn't open and click. And we break them down and segment them with completely different pieces of content to ensure that the people that are registering for that webinar are highly, highly engaged. Okay.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Cool. Yes. Yep. Now you're totally cool.
It only took till 5:02.
Perfect. Fine. transparency sells nowadays on a whole new level. That's right. SN. I hope I'm saying your name correctly, but welcome to Live at the Hive. We're glad you're here. So you're welcome. Look who's visiting during her vacation.
Oh, hey.
Wow.
Hello, 2 weeks in a row, April. You're on vacation.
All right, so let's dive into our last automation. I cut out a couple of them. We did have some really good ones on additional contact segmentation, but I feel like we already touched on it. The most important thing you can do, because I think a lot of times, this is just one tip, a lot of times with marketing automation, the notion is that you're going to fire and trigger some email, right? Like that's what we're trying to do. That's not actually true. The automations underneath the surface can automate your segmentation over time as you continue to create that engagement by creating tags based on behavior, based on selections they've made on the site. And then as you build up that segmentation, you set these automations to go, you're going to see that your audience data becomes extremely rich, right? And the reason for this, that this is so critically important, is their solution to what all of Facebook and digital marketers are complaining about, which is the fact that nobody is registering on iOS for IDFA, right? They're all saying, you can't track me. I don't want you to track me. So you can no longer use third-party data in any accurate way, but you can build your first-party data. And if you build that first-party data to sufficient levels, you get that into the platform, you get around that because you can then create lookalike audiences based on your current audience, and that still has really good accuracy levels. So there you go.
There you go.
Mic drop. Okay, our last automation we're going to talk about is a free trial automation workflow. And this is the bane of the existence of any SaaS provider, is that you get a free trial, but then converting people to some $29, $49, $79, whatever it is per month, user level is extremely difficult. So what you can do here, and this is a slightly more complex automation. So obviously you get your setup and welcome, getting started, tutorializing the experience is hugely important. And keeping them fully engaged over that period of time during their free trial. But what you can also do here is you can notify, say you've got a sales team, you could notify a sales team that someone has logged in or has not logged in, right? So you could have branches of logic based on keeping that engagement and really creating this kind of flywheel funnel that takes into account more than just one user path.
Exactly. Right. And it really helps you qualify those leads as they go through it. The more that they participate and actively engage with you through these automations, the more likely they are going to be invested in your product and will probably be okay with a subscription service or paying that fee ultimately.
I think, you know, in the SaaS space, the biggest problem, and I know this from talking to several other co-founders, and founders of SaaS products like Vidyard, for example, the biggest problem that they have is they go through the trial, they get signed up, everybody's really excited, onboarding happens, and then usage doesn't happen, right? It gets lost in the shuffle and people don't use the service. And then when it comes time for either a monthly or yearly renewal or whatever that term is, they question, they say, well, we didn't really use it, so we're not seeing value, so we're going to cancel. Right. And so these automations can run, like, I mean, these automations can run based on a behavior. Like if someone hasn't logged in for more than 7 days, send them a little reminder. Right.
Yeah.
If they haven't created whatever it is your product creates or purchased or done, performed an action, ask them if they need a hand, like would be willing to have a one-on-one workshop with you. So these automations, and this kind of just goes into wrapping it up. These automations are not just, I think, like I said, I think people view marketing automation as being this thing that just happens and I send a campaign and I trigger an email and that's it.
Yeah. Right?
It's a much deeper topic, and it does that. The capabilities are far and away more advanced than they ever have been.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways you can slice and dice it. Look at, we just talked about like 10 different ones. Well, probably like eight different ones.
Seven or eight, something seven? Like that. Yeah, we did our best. Six.
See, it was cutting in and out, so
close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we only covered really 10, but that's just a few of the ones you actually are capable of in active campaign, right? So you've got all, you got hundreds of them just to like to create. So those, like we mentioned, are like stepping stones. So you get to just, you can start with a base, and then depending on your business, you can twist it into whatever way you'd like to. However,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there are some ultimate basics, like keep it personal, understand what your triggers are, really understand what your end game is. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want them to subscribe? Do you want them to buy? And really, that's where doing those personas and customer journeys are really going to help you, because you'll start to understand what those natural triggers are and how you can leverage that through your automation.
Yep. And remember, if you're using a marketing automation platform, use it to create behavioral segmentations, create those segments, set those automations to run. And over time, you will build up rich first-party user data so you know what. So let's say you've got 8 services within your company. Well, you will know what portion of your leads and your customers are most interested. You'd know that probably intuitively by sales data, but you can see it also from the marketing side. And that's a huge benefit of marketing automation that I think often, I've seen hundreds of different marketing automation setups. Don't often see the segmentation part. So
no, it's true.
But very important.
Put that in your cap and smoke it. All right. All right, everybody. It is 5:08 on a Friday afternoon. I am camping in the backyard with the kids because...
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't get a... I mean, I don't think you can get campground spots in, at least in Ontario, for till 2022. So...
Yeah.
The backyard, it is for now. All right, everybody. Vaughn, Stacey, what are you guys up to this weekend?
Oh. we actually have a, I don't know, it might be or may not be. We have a friend up all the way up in Spencerville, and we might be visiting. So it's a nice 5-hour drive. Very, very fast, you know. It'll be very fun, but we'll see. It's supposed to rain, so we don't know yet.
That's, Stacey, you were just totally frozen with a really funny look on your face.
I'm sure.
Did like, you talk that whole time?
Are you kidding me again? Oh, geez.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, folks. Thanks so much for joining in on episode 190 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. We will see you next week. Same B time, same B channel. Peace.
Bye. Peace. Bye.
Oh.